for help on eliminating toxins from your life, having more beautiful and productive landscapes and gardens, and especially if you want to learn how to cut your water bill in half, you've come to the right place. It's Dirt Doctor Radio with your host, Howard Garrett.
Helping pets wherever you are in the country. My tea is Turk's Cap and honey. Again, I had a nice little selection of fruit on the Turk's Cap. The freeze didn't hurt any of that fruit. Freeze did hurt some plants. I'm kind of surprised that some plants made it through it. The first night that we had a pretty hard freeze, we had hibiscus and dragon wing begonias and a bunch of things that made it right through. And then the second night, it just melted all those plants. If that's the case, they can be thrown in the compost pile, obviously. Those kind of plants are not going to be perennial and come back. Some of the perennial hibiscus can, but I'm talking about the tropical ones, which is mostly what we had. We used to have some perennial hibiscus, and that is a perennial that's considered kind of short-term. It gets a little weaker every year, especially in a shady situation, and finally go away. At least that's been my experience. We put some of the tropical hibiscus this year in the ground and in some fairly shady places, which is what most of our landscape is. And they bloomed surprisingly well. And I was noticing one this morning that's not even completely dead yet. I might cut it to the ground and see if it seems to be a really, really strong one, see if mulching over it, it can make it through the winter. I doubt it very seriously. But if you want to, depending on where you are, if you want to try to bring something back as a perennial, a lot of times you can do that in an organic program because you have this greater cold hardiness in the plants. It relates to just better trace minerals and complex carbohydrates being in the plant as a result of healthy soil. But it's been my experience that even when I bring back something that shouldn't have come back, it limps along pretty badly the next season and maybe not worth the effort. A lot of times it's best to just plant a new fresh plant in the spring. I had, unfortunately, Brugmansia just covered, angel trumpet is what I'm trying to say, just covered with new buds about to open, and I'm sure that's all gone. They look pretty wilty, so we probably didn't get that next round of color on those, but they'll be back next year and do a good job for us again. Let's see what else. There's a lot of things happening in Howard's garden that we'll talk about. I'll work in as we go. We've got a visitor in the second hour talking about some health issues. If you want to talk about gardening, landscaping, compost making, pest control, not a lot of pest issues right now. The only one we've had that's been kind of interesting, we had a little fly, a little wasp, actually, inside the house. And I got called about this last year. It was the first time it popped up, and I had questions about it. And it looks like the size of, it's about an eighth of an inch long, something like that. And if you look at it closely, it has a pointed tail, has little antennae with a knob, a heavy part, a thicker part right on the end. And it is a little beneficial wasp. I think we put some information on Facebook last year about it. It's a little beneficial wasp that actually helps control roaches. It does, lays its eggs in the eggs of roaches and thus helps to kill them out in the house. So it comes across as kind of a nuisance-y little insect. It hops around and flies around. If you look at it closely, though, it is a little beneficial wasp. It's probably in the braconid wasp family that are all beneficial. But if you've seen that around and wondered what it was, that's it. And we'll try to put some photographs up more current on Facebook for you and give you a way to identify those little beasts that are around the house. If you have something else that's happening, let me know. Clayton has called in early this morning and probably going to give us a report. What's going on, Clayton, in Farmersville?
There's a not-so-smart person who's been plowing closer and closer to the highway right next to us.
Uh-oh.
And you know what happens when they plow closer to the highway is it finally caves in. And you have a big erosion problem by the bar ditch.
Oh, that's not good, yeah.
No, and the city of Farmersville isn't really doing anything. So next spring, I was wondering if it sounded like a good idea to you if we cut back all the weeds that were along there and then put a big erosion mat on it, put some buffalo grass seed there, and then tried to get a stand of buffalo grass on that soil to try to hold it.
Oh, that'd be fine. It would be probably the best grass long-term to have. There are some others that would establish more quickly and help with the erosion deal. But how are we going to keep the farmer from plowing right through it again?
Well, it's going to be on the side, like along the diagonal slope.
Okay.
And hopefully he's going to stop that because what just happened is he made a huge gully.
He realizes it was a mistake. Well, I think that's a good plan. Planting the buffalo grass needs to be done in April, same time we would plant Bermuda grass seed and that sort of thing when the temperature gets to around 70 and the soil temperature is up there. So just plan on getting it done then. You can put the erosion fabric on now or any time during the winter, but the seed really needs to wait till spring.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you put the seed on first, like throw the seed on and then put the erosion
mat over it?
That's
probably the best way to go, and you can use burlap, which would be probably less expensive than the expensive fabrics that are designed specifically for it. You can go either way. Let me put you on hold, Clayton, if you had something else. You got to take a quick break, and then we'll talk to more people at 866-444-3478. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be right back. Howard Garrett here for Chia Omega. You know, the healthcare professionals often recommend supplementation of omega-3 for cardiovascular health, joint comfort, and healthy cognition. I recommend the all-natural plant-based Chia Omega family of omega-3 formulas. They combine chia oil with ingredients like DHA, EPA, enzymes, CoQ10, and vitamin D3 for enhanced health benefits. You can find Chia Omega at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, is Howard's newest book. Howard explains in detail how to establish and maintain lawns, covering, planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. This book explains an easier, less expensive, and less water-intensive program than using conventional lawn care. Have the best-looking lawn in your neighborhood. Get more information or order this great book today by going to Howard Garrett Books on DirtDoctor.com.
You know that healthy living is my mission, and while looking for the best products to use, I've found a new organic bar soap called Farmer's Market. Farmer's Market soap is made from a unique blend of certified organic ingredients, avocado, blueberry, shea butters, and natural essential oils. Farmer's Market is organic, no nasty chemicals get in the way of the natural goodness of the ingredients, and you'll love the luxuriously rich lather to gently cleanse your skin, leaving you clean and refreshed. Farmer's Market comes in several farm-inspired natural fragrances like lavender, lemongrass, basil, and blackberry. Hard to pick my favorite, they're all great. Take it from the Dirt Doctor, Farmer's Market is outstanding and it's been certified to USDA organic standards. Ask for the Farmer's Market organic soaps in your local grocery, health food, or drug store, and go to fmorganics.com or dirtdoctor.com for more information. That's fmorganics.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best. But Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on DirtDoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant materials such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative point. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Apparently, we had some kind of technical glitch, so just in case some of you didn't hear it, let me talk about the dog that we've got here in the local area that we need to help. It's Vaughn. And Vaughn is a really good-looking 52-pound pointer mix at the SPCA in Dallas, just west of downtown Dallas. So go there. There's pictures of various pets on our website that are there. Best thing for you to do, though, is just go down there and take a look at the great dogs and cats that are at the SPCA. And for those of you around the country, same thing goes for you. Open line for you at 866-444-3478. Dale is in Waco and next up. Hello, Dale.
Good morning, sir.
What can I do for you?
I've got a Yaupon Holly and a Laura Petalum. Mm-hmm. They're about 8 years old. I can't really tell you what size they were when I planted them. They were decent size. Very, very healthy plants. Within 4 feet of each other, and I let them go for about 5 years just to let them go. About a couple of years ago, I started doing some pruning and shaping, And both of them have either seeded or sprouted. I've got lots of little babies, sometimes maybe just from the limbs laying over in the ground and rooted. I want to dig those up and move them. I want to make a little show place out in the front here, a little bed I'm chilling up and getting ready for. Should I wait till the dead of winter? You know, the Laura Petalum, neither of them lose their leaves or anything like that. So what's my time frame on trying to do something like this?
It's perfect right now, Dale. As soon as the soil is not sopping wet, did you have very much rain there in Waco?
We got 2 inches here about a week ago. It's been so dry it's gone. It's
well, that's good. But you didn't get much last night. We got just a drizzle last night.
Oh no, we haven't seen any rain since that front here a week or so ago.
Okay. Well, the perfect time to move them would be right now. See, we've had hard freezes. Plants have already been killed back. That shuts things down. The fall color is not showing that much because that freeze hit so early that a lot of plants were still green. And, of course, those two plants basically don't have normal fall color. But their systems will be shut down now, so this is the best time to move them, and you'll still be able to catch that nice burst of root growth that you get in the fall. And then a little bit of growth all during the winter. If you wait and do it in the middle of the winter or at the end of the winter, that's okay. It'd just be better to do it right now.
Okay, just go ahead. On these, I'm not sure if they're sprouts in some cases. I don't think they're root sprouts. I think they are, like for the yaupon, I think they're actually from seeds. That may be crazy. I don't know that plant that well. But I know that a lot of these have grown up from the weight of limbs reaching down into the ground and rooting. Any advice on digging those up carefully?
Well, you'll get growth both from suckers that come up from yaupon. I don't know about Laura Petalum. I'm not a big fan of that plant, to be honest with you, doing that same thing. But yaupon definitely will do it. Yaupon also, if it's a female plant, if it has the berries, it will come up from the seed.
Okay, it is. It has the berries.
Okay.
Tell me why you're not a fan of the Laura Petalum. I love that plant. It's so easy to prune, and it has so many different colors across the seed. What do I need to be aware of?
Nothing. It's just a personal preference. When they're healthy, I'm not a big fan of the color of the flowers.
Okay.
They don't go with anything else very well. And then the other thing that I have to deal with and that I see as I go around is that a lot of people plant those things in the alkaline soils, and a very high percentage of them are chlorotic. They're not very well adapted to the black and white soils and the high pH soils. There seems to be, kind of like ball cypress a little bit, there seems to be a seed source problem. If you get a plant that was grown from cuttings or whatever of a plant that was adapted to high pH alkaline soils, no problem. They stay green and pretty and bloom and all that goes fine. But if the seed source, the cutting or the seed source was from Louisiana or East Texas or someplace where it's sandy acid soils, and it's used to those kind of conditions, when it gets planted into the alkaline soil, it turns yellow and fades and just really has a hard time. If yours is healthy and doing well and you like the color, that's great. That's just a personal opinion thing.
Okay, well, that's good. I just love the way it turns dark purple and then it turns green and it puts out those little... Well, anyway, I just like it.
Yeah, that's great. And it sounds like it's doing well in your soil. You're in Waco. You probably have pretty alkaline soil there, so it probably means that you've got a good seed source and it'll always be a healthy color.
Anything in particular in terms of watering or fertilization at this time of year?
No, just don't water any more than you have to. That's the thing. Don't let it dry out in the wintertime. And that means watering if we get into a real long drought is the only time you need to water.
Excellent. Thanks, Howard, as always.
Dale, thanks for calling. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye. All right, and we've got open lines for you. Jump on here at 866-444-3478. We're going to talk a little bit more about in Howard's Garden. I'm not sure what some people miss, so I'll go back over a couple things. Then we'll talk about tree planting and also root flare or trunk flare exposures, because we're doing a lot of that these days, and I'll tell you about it. Howard Garrett, back after this.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. A National Security Council spokesman says if the video is authentic, the White House would be, quote, appalled by the brutal murder of an innocent American. ISIS releasing a video today purporting to show the beheading of American aid worker Peter Kasich. ISIS is also claiming responsibility for a car bombing near the Baghdad International Airport. The claim is posted on the militant website, says the attack targeted Americans. The Nigerian army says it's regained control of the northeastern town where more than 200 schoolgirls were kidnapped by Islamic extremists 6 months ago. The girls are still missing. Recovery workers in rebel-controlled eastern Ukraine have started collecting debris today from the crash site of Malaysian Airlines Flight 17, 4 months after the plane was brought down, killing almost 300 people. This is SRN News.
Sue, I noticed when you paid for that dress, you gave them two cards, your credit card and a blue card. Why the blue card?
Oh, the blue card is a rewards card. I get discounts, cash back, even accumulate points that I can use to get all kinds of cool stuff from participating merchants and an online shopping mall.
You're kidding. Where can I use it?
All kinds of stores everywhere, even online shopping. I only need one card, and it works for thousands of businesses.
How much does it cost?
The blue card is free. You can save money, get cash back, even accumulate shopping points every time you use it. When you refer the blue card to someone else, you get paid on their purchases too. You can introduce it to merchants where you shop and get paid every time someone uses it in their store. Earn extra money to pay bills like your house payment, car payment, or even have money for a nice vacation just by telling others about the free blue card. To get your free blue card, call 800-685-7470, 800-685-7470.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Frost. The Memphis Grizzlies are off the best start of the NBA at 9-1 following their 95-88 victory over Detroit. Grizzlies center Mark Gasol with 23 points and 8 boards says his team is a work in progress despite winning 9 of their first 10.
We're just trying to get better. We know that we can be a lot better. We're not there yet. Our offense hasn't clicked yet. We haven't made a ton of shots. But I think as the games are coming, we'll be playing better defense for longer stretches.
Sacramento, after having squandered leads of 24 and 26 points and losing their previous two games, made sure they didn't have it again as they beat San Antonio 94-91. LeBron James scored 32 points, and the Cavaliers drained their first 11 three-point attempts as Cleveland won their fourth straight, 127-94 over Atlanta. Dallas beat Minnesota, 131-117. Monte Ellis with a season-high 30 points for the Mavs. This is SRN Sports. Washington is 7-2 after they beat Orlando 98-93. It was Toronto 111, Utah 93, Indiana 99, Chicago 90, Portland 97, Brooklyn 87, Golden State 112, Charlotte 87, and the LA Clippers 120, Phoenix 107. In the NHL, Los Angeles knocked off Western Conference leader Anaheim in overtime 3-2. Kings center Jarrett Stoll says he's pleased that his first goal of the season turned out to be the game winner.
It's been a while. Trying hard, but feels great to get that goal and just to get the 2 points. We needed 2 points bad, especially against these guys.
Boston beat Carolina 2-1. It was Minnesota 2-1 over Dallas. Colorado 3, New Jersey 2, Tampa Bay 5, the New York Islanders 2. Pittsburgh won a shootout over the New York Rangers 3-2. Montreal iced Philadelphia 6-3. It was Columbus 2-1 over San Jose. Buffalo 6, Toronto 2. Nashville 2, Winnipeg 1, St. Louis 4, Washington 1, Calgary 4-2 over Ottawa. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
Excuse me, I was filling my tea cup again. Howard Garrett back with you. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. I was going to talk about trees quite a bit. Mark is calling in from Garland about trees, so we'll just talk to him so we don't have to sit around waiting so long. Hey, Mark.
How are you doing today?
Doing well. What's up?
I just want to know with this cold weather if it's still okay to plant bushes or trees, or if I should wait till it warms up a little bit.
No, just like we were just talking a minute ago, this is the best time to plant of the whole year. You catch a little of this winter, this fall root growth still at this point. And so early, fall, as soon as the fall color starts showing, which has happened now, or any time during the winter is fine, but right now is just an absolutely perfect time to plant.
When it gets down to the 20s, and should I still cover them and all that till the
If you plant hardy plants that we recommend, for this area, the only time you'd need to cover anything is if you planted something new from the nursery that just came in from 90-degree weather, or it had been in a greenhouse or something like that, and the temperature dropped to, 10 or 15 degrees. We don't have that cold of weather coming, and so it really wouldn't be any problem. Is there a little bit of a risk? Well, there's always a little bit of a risk, even for plants that have been there a long time, if you have that huge weather change. But for the most part, this is the best time to plant. Get the plants in there and let them experience the cold weather, and they'll still be getting some root growth and be in much better shape next spring.
Cool. Yeah, I know I've done it before, but usually I catch it before we get the freezes in. I just worried about these 20-degree weather nights and all that.
Do you already have the plants?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I just bought them at Home Depot and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, are they outside during what weather we've already had?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I've had them covered here last week or so.
Well, what kind of plants are they?
Just hollies and just the generic bushes you can get at Home Depot.
Okay. I wouldn't have even covered them, so go ahead and put them in, and if we have a dramatically severe change, the weather dipping down, put floating row cover over them, during those nights. Other than that, you're going to be fine.
Okay. All right, I appreciate it.
Appreciate the call.
Have a good day.
And I recommend buying plants, by the way, to everybody from the independent stores more than the big boxes, because then you have somebody to talk to, and generally speaking, they will have the adapted plants a little bit more often than some of the big box places. Not that you can't buy some good plants from the big stores from time to time, but you have to know what you're doing when you're going in there, because you may not be talking to someone who is extremely knowledgeable about plants. Well, once again, we moved some plants into the greenhouse, if you haven't already, or into a protected area. Things we moved in were things like my aloe, the ferns. I have a big black pepper that you've heard me talk about a little bit. It's never flowered. I mean, there ain't pepper on it yet. It probably doesn't get quite enough a full sun. We've moved. I've got a great big asparagus fern that's already been moved in. What else did we move in? We've got a couple of bougainvillea that we moved into protection, and a few other things like that. If you're growing tropical plants outside, if it's not too late, if they're not already damaged, you need to get them in. Now, I've got little ginkgo trees growing in containers all over the place that I've planted in various size containers, and they're still all outside. My big ginkgo is not even showing any fall color yet. I hope that freeze, we got down to 25 degrees for a short period of time, hasn't completely spoiled what is normally the great fall color. And we'll see. There's nothing you can do about it. If you had plants that are deciduous that still had green foliage and they got really cold temperature, there is a possibility that the leaves will be damaged so much that they're just going to turn brown and go, boom, just fall off the plant. On the other hand, they may have as good a fall color as you've ever seen. And once again, all you can do on that is just wait and see what you get. Our Mexican buckeye is starting to have gorgeous color on it. Another really great color plant that we have is the Parodia, the Persian ironwood that you've heard me talk about, and we've done stories about on Facebook. I think maybe we even did a newsletter on it. it has as almost as good a yellow fall color as the ginkgo. It normally happens in my plants later than the ginkgo, and it's still green as a gourd. It doesn't have a hint of color in it at all. So whether it'll be good this year or not, don't know. Ginkgo is showing little bits of color around the edges, especially the little small ones that are 1 to 3 feet tall in containers. But I'm leaving them outside, too. I lost one years ago that was a beautiful little bonsai ginkgo because I left it outside. And we had one of those events I was talking about earlier. We had an event where it went from 80 to 85 degrees down to 15, and it killed that little ginkgo outside. Normally in our zone 8 here, we could leave those kind of plants out in containers during the winter. But there's always a risk of that severe change and drop knocking them out. I moved one of them up a little closer to the house so it gets a little bit of warmth from the house, but they did not go inside. On planting trees, I talked with Bob Webster on his show about this yesterday. There is a project that I ran into here in Dallas. It's being done by the Park Department, and I have a call into the head honcho, and I'm going to try to talk to the forester about it. It's a big planting of trees not too far from our house, and there may be more to the story. That's why I'm trying to call them and talk to them. But for those of you that may have seen it as well, they've dug, well, it's like hundreds of holes in a big, nice, what used to be an open space, with an auger. They've augered holes about 30 inches in diameter, about 2 feet deep. Worst possible hole you can dig for a tree. Nothing even comes close to being as bad an idea as far as planting trees. Carl Whitcomb's written several books and has covered the research backing this up as much as anybody. And of course, we have too, anecdotally through the years, planting, you know, thousands and thousands of trees over the years in different ways. But the way we plant them now that we found it's the most successful is to do the single most important thing you can do, and that is dig a very wide, ugly hole, rough sided hole. I like saucer shaped holes because the surface needs to be a lot wider than the bottom of the hole, because most of the root growth is going to happen up in the top few inches of the soil. So you dig it either by hand and make sure you chop it up and rough it up on the edges, or you dig it with a backhoe on a commercial situation, which is what they should have done on this park, because that way the backhoe rips the hole and also digs a square hole. It's pretty hard to dig a round hole with a backhoe. So you end up with a square hole, which is good too, because when the roots start to grow out on a newly planted tree, those roots will hit the corner and tend to go out from the corner rather than continuing to circle around. That's what's wrong with a glazed, augered hole that you would put a tree in. The roots go out and in the soil that you've backfilled with, whether it's the right kind of soil, the soil that came out of the hole, or even worse, some new soil that was brought in that's different than the native soil. In either case, the roots grow out in that new soil, aerated soil or new soil, and they're feeling pretty good about life. And then they hit that glazed wall, and just the common sense of it should be apparent to anybody, that root tip is not going to peck and bump and dig and try to go through that glazed surface. It's going to turn and go round and round and round in the hole. And, like I said, it's one of the worst things you can do. Again, Carl Whitcomb. Carl and I have been friends for a long time and really agree on a lot of things, especially tree-wise. He's not into organics, is never going to be, he didn't learn it that way, and he still uses chemical fertilizers and pesticides and things like that. But as far as planting trees, if you want to see anything that I talk about, hard research, hard data that backs it up about what kind of holes to dig, how to plant the tree properly with just the soil that comes out of the hole, trimming as little as possible. Best not a leaf off the tree when it's transplanted. Staking it only as a last result, not ever wrapping the trunk. Carl's research backs it up in more scientific detail than even any of my stuff does. So you can see his books. He's got several of them. Just do a web search. It's called his publishing company. He publishes his own books, I think, all the time. It's called Lace Bark Publishing. If you look at our website, dirtdoctor.com, and go to the library, the books that I recommend are there, and his books are listed. The ones that I think the most of are listed right there. The other issue is, and by the way, we have open lines. You want to jump on here and talk about anything at all, it's 866-444-DIRT, D-I-R-T, which is 3478. The project that we are right in the middle of at my house, close to the end, is pulling the ground cover and the ivies, well, the ivies are the ground covers in the front yard, and the vines back from the bases of trees. And we've exposed the flares of all of our trees at least once in the past, and in some cases twice. I have gotten more aggressive as far as exposing the flares of trees. I put one photograph on Facebook yesterday of a red oak, kind of medium-sized red oak in the front yard, showing the bare soil around the base of the tree, pulling the ground cover back away from the tree, and then going down and exposing the soil that builds up again over a period of time, especially when you have trees and ground cover and around other plants. Let me talk about this a little more for you when we come back, and then we'll go to the phone. So jump on here at 866-444-3478. Our website is dirtdoctor.com. Our newsletter is free. It's weekly. All you have to do is fill out the little form. It's on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com, or send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com. I'll be right back. Maestro Grow, the makers of great organic fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now making Garrett Juice Pro. Garrett Juice Pro is for use on all your crops to improve the soil and plant roots with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, hydrolyzed fish, and beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it in garden centers, feed stores, and hardware stores. And for more information, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system, because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of microbial products that help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, improve fertilizer and water efficiency, and help reduce diseases in crops. For growers, BioSI's double digester helps reduce crop residue and prepares your field for next season's growth. Apply it today on fields that have too much debris. BioSI's lawn and garden products are now available at Tractor Supply. So contact BioSI at 866-393-4786 or at BioSITechnology.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: Vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and we were talking about trees, and I'll do that just a little bit more before we go back to the phones, but jump on here at 866-444-3478. As I started saying, we're uncovering some of our trees, and some of the trees at our house have been uncovered before, and it's kind of a good lesson because depending on what you have as far as planting underneath the trees, the soil can build up again, even though you expose the flare earlier in the life of the tree. Also, if there's work done, we had a lot of work done in our front yard, irrigation work. We've had all kinds of things, contractors in there getting into the valves and everything, and soil being moved around, changes in valves and stuff. And what happens is that even though there's cleanup, the soil gets moved around and ends up being tossed on the bases of trees. So we pull the ground cover back, and you pull it off the tree first. Our latest newsletter covers this subject. You do not want to let any vines or ground covers, which can vine as well, growing on the trunks of the trees. We used to say just keep the plants out of the top of the tree because that robs sunlight and hurts the tree and shades it out and does all that, which is true. But you also don't want the plants growing on the trunks of trees. It's just like having soil on the trunk of the tree. It holds moisture in an unhealthy, unnatural way against the bark. It can cause rot and decay and various kinds of things. But the main thing is it just changes the natural condition. The bark of trunks is designed to breathe. And if it's covered up with big, thick vines and all, it shuts it down just like soil does. Not quite as badly as soil does, but it builds up soil. If you have vines growing on the trunk of the tree and you take them back, it's almost inevitable that the soil will have built up on the flare during the process because as the wind blows, dust is blown around, pollen is blown around, leaves fall and catch in the vines on the trees. Soil builds up, and when you take the soil off, it's almost in every case that you need to remove some soil as well. We've done it all in this case, and I wanted to do it on purpose to show homeowners how it can be done without bringing a company in and doing it with an air spade, which is the best way to go, by the way. If you have a lot of trees, that's what I strongly recommend that you do, is hire a company to come in and with an air spade remove the soil from the base. But a homeowner can do it with tools that may already be around the house or some pretty inexpensive ones that can be bought. I even got an email from one of the listeners that suggested using a simple leaf blower, and I've been doing exactly that. I have two different very powerful leaf blowers. One's a Steel, and the other is an Ego, E-G-O. Both of them run on lithium batteries, and they're fantastic. They blow as hard or harder than the gasoline-powered, stinky, noisy leaf blowers that most companies use. And so what you do is you loosen the soil at the base with hand tools. There's some gloves that somebody sent us to try that we've been playing around with that are pretty cool. They're gloves that have sharp fingernails like claws, and you can use those. You can use a little three-prong cultivator. You can use a hoe. All of the hard tools you can use. You can even use shovels, but you need to do it very, very carefully to avoid banging up the flares and the good roots that you're not going to be taking away. Even if you do bang them up a little bit, which I've done some in my experimentation, exposing the roots overrides the damage that you might do doing a nick or two here and there on the roots with hard tools. But if you rough up the soil that's up too high, just rough up the surface, you can take a blower then and blow it away, one of these leaf blowers. When the soil is loose, it blows away real easily. Then rough it up a little bit more, a little deeper, and blow it away. Works terrifically. And you can haul that soil off, or you can just spread it out more around the trees. We've got one photograph already on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/thedirtdoctor. And then the latest newsletter shows a hackberry tree that's got a little bit of English ivy growing up on the trunk. A lot of people think, well, that's no problem. Well, it is a problem. You take it off and you pull it back from the base of the tree, and you may or may not see a flare. And that gives you the information you need about whether you need to remove some bark and soil. I got a question this week while I was talking about it online that was about the risk of not having mulch on the trees in the winter. A lot of people think that if you mulch around the trees and build volcanoes at the base of the trees, that helps you with winter. It's just the opposite. When you do that, it stresses the tree, it covers up the natural ability of the bark and the flare to heal, and that flare is part of the trunk, it's not part of the root system, so it does just the opposite of what people think should happen. Right at the base of the tree should be bare soil. Phil and Jim Holden, I'm going to if you had something, tell Matt what it was, and I'll answer your question on the air. We're going to have a visitor at the beginning of this next hour. Sorry I didn't get to you, but I will get your question answered. Give it to Matt, or I'll talk to you off the air. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, a little break here, and then we'll be back. Telephone number to be with us is 866-444-3478. We'll have a little visit talking about human health a little bit here, and then get right back to the phones. The website is dirtdoctor.com.